Well, it is June 2nd, 6:02 p.m. here in sunny and warm southern New Mexico. Right now in Alamogordo, it's about, I'm showing 96 degrees right now here, and 74 up in Cloudcroft. With me in the studio today, your friend and mine, Mr. Henry. I call him Hank. The whole world calls him Hank.
Except my mom.
Except your mom, right, right. We won't go into what she calls you, because...
Depends on her mood.
Right, yes. It's a mother's prerogative.
This is true.
Very much so. So did you have a great day?
I did have a great day. Had a cookout with some friends from church, and was just a really blessed time.
Good. Nothing like firing up the grill. It's that time of year.
We're in Alamogordo. It's that time of the year from February to December.
That's correct. With only like 3 days in between, and that's when the snow falls. And even then, it's the Grill Master's Barbecue. That's my new nickname for you, the Grill Master.
The Grill Master. I like that. I've been called worse things.
Or, I'm sorry, the Grill Sergeant. That's what I was going to go with. Yeah, the Grill Sergeant.
That'll work.
Yep. So I had a pretty good week, pretty busy week, doing a lot of things for work and trying to keep the boys in their handcuffs. You keep the boys reined in under control. So mainly the youngest one, you know, he's like the Tasmanian devil on sugar.
I don't know. He seems like a good boy, but I've only met him twice.
Oh, he's a great kid. He really is. He cracks me up sometimes. You know, I had an interesting day the other day. These glasses I've got, they're quite a few years old. And I decided it's time for some new ones, because I'm noticing now that when I need to read, I take them and prop them up on top of my head. Yeah, I do. And,
or underneath the glasses.
Underneath or over, you know. Yeah. And I remember seeing my grandfather do that just right before he got bifocals. So, yeah. So I went down to Dr. Markart there over on New York, and, oh, man, the ladies over there treated me like a king when I walked in. That really got... I didn't wait too long. You know, usually when you go to a doctor's office, you have to sit and wait. Doesn't matter what kind.
Everybody's on doctor time.
Yeah, right, yes. Right. So I'm sitting there, and I'm waiting, and then they take me back, and they do a lot of really, really thorough exams. I'm not used to that. Of course, I don't go to the eye doctor as much as I should. Mm-hmm. I will now. But I went back, and I told the doctor, I said, I think I need bifocals. I'm not real sure. He said, well, I'll examine you and find out. And he did the examination. He said, yeah, you could use bifocals. I mean, you don't have to, but if you want to keep taking your glasses off to read. I said, no, I want to keep my glasses on when I've got them on. The only time I want to take my glasses off is when I go to bed or I get in a shower. Right. I've made the mistake of getting in the shower with them on before, and it's just... silly. So,
if you've ever worn glasses, you've done that, or you've walked around the house with them on top of your head looking for them.
Oh yeah, I've done that. I won't have to do that anymore, because I ordered a set of bifocals, and they really treated me.
So
good,
you have reached that age.
I have. It's a milestone. Now I will tell you the truth. They told me that if I wanted, since I sit behind a computer all day, like you and I both do, mm-hmm. at work. Then I could go with trifocals. And I said, no, I don't think I want to go that route. That's a little bit more expensive. And
I could tell you something that would make you laugh and kind of be scared at the same time.
Okay.
I had to wear bifocals in kindergarten.
Are you serious?
I've had 3 operations on my eyes because I was born with lazy eye. And that day, they did correct it with surgery, but I had to be, I think, a year and a half old. And the surgery worked for the most part, but I had bifocals in kindergarten. And it was bad enough I was the biggest kid in class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
But look at the sense of humor I've developed.
Yes, yes. All because of the bifocals, I'm sure. No, I'm sure that's not the reason was. But anyway, I went down there. They actually look forward to going back.
Hey, that's great.
So... it was good. Hey, we've got, Hank, we've got some tickets for the Flickinger Tailgate Series, Saturday, June 9th at 8 p.m. I've got 2 tickets. They're a $40 value, each one of them. You go up there and you park your car and you get in with 1 ticket, from what I understand, lets a whole car load in. Ooh. And it's the Anna Augie. I hope I pronounced that right. I called Bob just before I came on and said... had him pronounce that. He said it was Anna Augie. She's a country musician. And that's the Flickinger Tailgate Series, Saturday, June 9th at 8 p.m. If you'd like one of those tickets, call me at 437-0917. 437-0917. Call me while we're playing a song or doing something of that nature. And the reason for that is there's been times when I've been talking and couldn't get to the phone quick enough, and the phone call actually went to voicemail, and then the next caller came in. We don't want to do that. So if you would, if you want those tickets, call us at 437-0917, area code 575. But do me the favor and call while we're in the midst of a conversation, or not in the midst of a conversation, midst of a playback or something like that. Hey, the chat room is open at jasonkirtman.com if you want to interact during the show. Nobody there right now, but maybe somebody will pop in there during a show. We're going to have a good time tonight. We got a lot of stuff going on. I did my interview with Miss Christine Stock of the Pecos Dining Guide, and I've got that. I'm going to play that. It was a good interview, and I had some really good chili stew while we were there. So we'll get to that in just a few minutes. And let's see, what else have we got going on here? Oh, I want to tell you a story. You'll like this, Hank. I pulled this up right just about an hour ago. Years ago in Africa, there was this missionary that was traveling around going from tribe to tribe, and he found this grass hut, and everybody in it had been killed.
Oh.
And he found another tribesman that was outside, and he said, "What happened here?" He says, "Well, we have this contest every year between us and another tribe, and whoever wins gets to take the chief's throne as a trophy. And we our huts are kind of built on two levels. And we take that throne as a trophy, but because our huts are set as a level, we got to put these thrones somewhere. So we've been storing them up in the more or less the attic of the hut, this grass hut." He said, "Well, we've won this contest like 7-8 years in a row, and these thrones got heavy. They had a big party after the contest inside the grass hut after they'd stored this put the throne up there. And during the party, the weight of all these thrones up in this attic collapsed and killed everybody in the hut."
Oh.
And the moral to this story is people that live in grass houses shouldn't stow thrones. Yeah, you got to think about that one for a minute.
That's
anyway,
a double groaner.
Yeah, a double groaner. Okay, well, you got to admit, the pun's pretty good.
That's a pretty good pun.
That is a pretty good pun. Hey, we'll go ahead with the interview with the Pecos Dining Guide with Miss Christine Stock. Here's that interview right now. This is Jason. I'm sitting here with Miss Christine Stock, who works for the Roswell
Daily Record.
Daily Record, and her job is to work on the Pecos Dining Guide. Tell me a little bit about the Pecos Dining Guide, Christine.
Yes, it's first of all, thank you for having me. The Pecos Area Dining Guide started out with the Roswell Daily Record in Roswell, and it took off from there 2 years ago. First, we wanted to have it locally to get more tourists into our area, because we're just plainly neglected by the north. Everybody knows about Taos and Santa Fe, and everybody reports about Albuquerque, but our little southeast corner, you know, we're just the little stepchild.
And how big is the area that you cover for the dining guide?
It's about 500 square miles.
That's got to be a lot of restaurants, and you've probably eaten in all of them or close to it?
I try to limit myself every 3 days. I sample some of my restaurants just to get an idea. And, of course, the new ones I sample right away when a new one comes into the area. And over Facebook, either we have now a followership there, over 1,400.
That's a lot of followers.
Very many, you know, from the percentage-wise that
I'm
we don't advertise.
Them.
And you are one of them.
Yes, I'm one of them. I like looking there and see what are your favorite restaurants and the places that you like to go. I got to ask you this, Christine. Of all the types, there's hundreds of different types of restaurants and everything from local cuisine to Mexican to Italian. What is your favorite kind of food?
Oh, that is really tricky to say. It depends on my mood, first of all. When
Certainly.
I'm very homesick, I have to go up to Cloudcroft and eat at the Cross-Eyed Moose.
I love the Cross-Eyed Moose.
Only place where you can get schnitzel.
It is. The only place with a moose hanging on the wall.
That's true.
Schnitzel. Okay, now I had to ask my wife this, but I want to get the explanation of this from a
a genuine German,
yes,
which is what you are.
Yeah.
I'm a genuine German several generations, but what is exactly schnitzel?
Schnitzel was based out of Austria. They invented it, and the original Vienna schnitzel is made out of calf, and you can describe it for Americans like a chicken fried steak, but it has a lighter batter, and it is thinner, and it, the perfect one should be from one side of the plate to the other. Now, that's the Austrian way.
I understand.
Yes. The Germans, we don't like so much veal, because that's how it was made in Austria, only with veal. The Germans put a little twist to it and added to it, instead of the veal, pork, which works just as fine. You just put it very thin, you batter it in egg batter, and then you put the coating on, just like chicken fried steak.
So is there gravy with it or a sauce?
Either you can have it without gravy and just the lime or lemon, and you just put it on top of it, and you serve it with German potatoes or German potato salad or fries. Or you can have it the Hunter way, which is Jägerschnitzel. That means schnitzel like the hunters like it. And that's a gravy with mushrooms. And that's my personal favorite.
Oh, that sounds good. I like anything with mushrooms in it.
Anything
from pizza to Philly cheesesteak sandwiches.
Okay.
My wife says I'm a little nuts. I really go for those mushrooms. Now, for those of you that are listening, this is pre-recorded, and you might hear some background noises. We are at Our Country Kitchen, right on the corner of 12th Street and New York, here in Alamogordo. Fabulous restaurant. You know, Christine, I've lived here a year, and I did not know this place was here.
Believe me, I lived here now 13 years in the region, and I traveled far and wide because I used to be a travel agent, and I still worked here as a travel agent.
And here comes our server now with green chili stew.
Yes, and it's one of the best ones here.
It is one of the... So, Christine, I'm going to have to take a break here.
Yes.
And we'll come back in just a few minutes. We're going to enjoy this green chili stew.
Okay, see you later.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to fill that quota, and the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planners down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined a great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Just like a percolator, her perfume was made right on the grill. Why, they could percolate the ocean in Brazil. And when their ham and eggs need savor, coffee ketchup gives them flavor. Coffee pickles way outsell the dill. Why, they put coffee in the coffee in Brazil. No tea, no tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, the planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a cruller. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee an awful lot of coffee. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
Well, Ms. Stock, we finished our green chili stew, and I gotta say, I was thoroughly impressed.
That's the amazing point that you also said you won't find one green chili stew in any restaurant or at home that is the same. It all depends, you know, where the people come from. You can find the ones that we know from the north, which is the Tex-Mex version. You can find the real Mexican versions, Spanish versions, and my favorite, the authentic New Mexican. And the authentic New Mexican is made only with New Mexican green chili, which is the best in the world.
What makes it so different?
It's our soil. It's like a good wine. Our soil is amazing. We have so many minerals in our, you know, that makes the water horrible and hard and ruins
right.
all the machines. But it makes our wine and our green chili just wonderful.
Carries over into the taste.
Now, yes.
Fascinating, fascinating. And you have had a lot of green chili in a lot of these
yes.
places. Now let's talk about desserts. What are your favorite desserts at some of these places that you've been to?
Oh, I found out just recently that my favorite German cake is actually a Mexican cake too.
Really?
Yes, and they got influenced probably during the time when Napoleon sent poor Maximilian here to rule over Mexico. But somehow, some of the things that he brought with him stuck. And one of it is the tres leche cake, which means the three milk cake.
The three milk cake.
Yes. And actually, it's like a whipped cream cake. It's
sounds good already.
It's light. It's fluffy. It is the best one.
Okay. I've got to ask, where can I get that in southern New Mexico?
In southern New Mexico, you get it usually in bakeries, like Dulce de Leche in Roswell. That's one of them. You just have to find the small little bakeries. They always have that because it's a specialty that few of the Americans know about. And it's wonderful.
It sounds delicious. Just three milks and the cheese. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I'm going to have to hunt some of that down. Or maybe since you might find it easier, maybe next time you come, I can get you to bring me a sample of that.
I sure will.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Another good dessert here that you can find easier in Alamogordo, of course, are the Cinnabons here.
They
are
right here at our country kitchen. They're
right here. And they are the biggest one I ever encountered. You might want to share it. Otherwise, you can roll around.
And I might not want to share it. I told you a while ago that I'll have to come back for that.
Yeah.
For me and some of my friends who are borderline or some of them full-blown diabetic. Not the healthiest thing.
No, but you can. Little bite doesn't
sure.
hurt.
Sure. Or if you've prepared yourself beforehand by... There are certain things you can do when you know you're going to indulge a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, I would roll around, you know, if I would eat everywhere, the whole portion, and I try to limit myself every 3 days. I eat, you know, my favorite treats, and then I don't hold back.
Do you cook at home?
I used to.
You don't
of
have
course,
time for it.
No
now,
time
probably.
Anymore. Yeah, I'm constantly on the road, so I live on my restaurants. It's like working in a chocolate factory.
Right.
You know, after a while you can't see the chocolate anymore.
Right. I used to work in a pizza shop, and I love pizza. To this day I love pizza, but every now and then I just don't feel like eating pizza.
Yes.
So
that's the nice thing we have here, the variety. Even the restaurant owners, they visit each other. You know, it's not a big competition. It is everybody joins in with their specialties, and that's fun. And for somebody with a low or smaller budget, I always post on Facebook also tips and tricks, you know, how you can stretch it out. And sometimes how you can sell some products as your own.
Right.
Stir fries work very good.
I love stir fries.
I love Thai cuisine. That's mm-hmm. my favorite from the Asian cuisine.
Right.
And there's one Taste of Orchid in Roswell that is really, truly authentic. And the owner actually fell in love with Southeast New Mexico, so she moved to Roswell. And her first, she has an award-winning restaurant in Albuquerque. But she moved to us because she likes it better. which I love.
Great, yes, yes. Now, you brought with you some copies of the Pecos Dining Guide.
Yes.
And how many pages are in that guide, approximately?
This one is the biggest one ever. We have 40 pages.
In the Spring-Summer 2012 Guide. Yes. Where can my listeners pick up a copy of this guide?
The easiest way is to go to your local chamber, and we cover the entire southeast corner of New Mexico. We're also on the Air Force Base in Holloman, mostly at the E-Club or the Visitor Center. Then we are also in every gas station, but those are the ones who go fast. So the
I can imagine.
Yes. And of course in the restaurants you find them as well. But the Chamber of Commerce, they always have a good stock there, and the hotels as well. And of course also the Greyhound stations.
Right.
And the airport.
And it's available online as well, is
yes.
that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And where would somebody go if they wanted to take a quick look at it online?
Online, you just have to type in the Roswell Daily Record webpage, which is rdrnews.com, and click on the magazines, and there you find the dining guide, and you find also our Vision magazine. And the Vision magazine is also a new product. We cover the entire southeast corner with events. Where are the musicians playing? What is going on locally? The museums and the chambers are sending us now all the information. It took a while, but now we're rolling, and it's fun.
Well, I went online last night, and I took a look at the dining guide. And I got to tell you, I was impressed, and I enjoyed it, and it made me want to get my car and go a few places, I got to tell you.
That's the purpose of it, because the pictures are also the authentic pictures, not like sometimes you see in advertisement, the food looks so beautiful, it's plastic food.
You took these pictures yourself,
I took these
correct.
Pictures myself. I went to the restaurants, and it's not, you know, made pretty. Occasionally, I put some jalapenos in just to make the color pop, but that's about it. You get what you see, and over Facebook I post also the pictures depending, you know, where I am and where I go.
And you post very regularly too,
yes.
So it's you can go there almost every day or every other day and see an update to the page.
Yes.
I love your Facebook page.
Thank you.
I really, really do, because me and my wife like to get out on occasion on the weekend and go someplace.
Mm-hmm.
We like to know what's available to eat before we get there and get kind of an idea.
Yeah.
So we don't spend half our time hunting for something we don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask you, there's a restaurant, I believe, that you attended not too long ago, a very historical place in Lincoln.
Oh, yes. I have actually two places there, because everything is historical there.
Yes.
They're amazing two places. One is the Wortley Hotel, and that is based on the war that they had when Billy the Kid broke
out. The Lincoln
out,
County
and the Lincoln
War.
County War and all that. And the sheriff actually had his last meal there before he went out to check on Billy the Kid when they hollered that he escaped.
Yes.
And he got gunned down in the street.
Yes, had his last meal there. That's correct. I plan on giving them a call and seeing if I can record a segment there.
That would be awesome. The interior, everything is still how it was. And you can even stay overnight there. It's a little bed and breakfast. They have a couple of rooms. And it's very, very private.
I went to the Mercantile next door, the old shop, too. Slade's Mercantile. That's
yes.
a really, really neat place.
It is.
My dad bought a saddle there.
he doesn't even own a horse.
No. They wanted a saddle. They live in St. Louis to put in the basement so the grandkids could play, set it on a horse and a wooden horse and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up finding a Resistol hat for $10. So Lincoln is a very nice, quiet town. It's not commercialized.
Not at all.
At all. And
yeah.
It's
and
a great
they
place
keep
to
it
visit.
Also very authentic. I mean, even the local owners of who live there privately, as well as the shop owners, they want to keep it just as it is. You know,
yes.
private, secluded, and in wintertime the entire town shuts down. And it's really, really private.
Yes. What was the other restaurant?
The other one is a bed and breakfast, and it's the Ellis.
The Ellis.
Yes. And it goes back, way back when the Buffalo soldiers were there still. And also when the area was also a treatment facility for TBC, the tuberculosis. Because our area with the dry climate, as you know from Wyatt Earp movies,
yes.
you know, and Doc Holliday, the people who suffered of that disease were mostly in the north where the humidity was higher, and they thought the desert air helped them, and it truly did. And the Alice even has a ghost. Her name is Rebecca.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's not Rebecca, sorry, it's Victoria. And Rebecca's the other one.
Yes, in Cloud Croft. Yeah. I've eaten there. That's a great place,
yes,
too.
Yes. But our Victoria, she looks like almost her sister because she has also red hair.
Wow.
But she was a patient there. And she shows up occasionally. She lived a happy life, and she moved back to New York, where she originally came from. But when she passed on, she moved back to Lincoln. Can't blame her.
Lincoln is such a neat, you can't feel like, you can't help but feel when you walk down the sidewalks there.
Yeah.
That you can almost picture in your mind's eye.
Yes.
What happened, the events that went, you know, Rutherford B. Hayes said that was the most dangerous street in America.
Absolutely. And the amazing thing is the people who live there, they are the descendants of the original people who were there in the Lincoln County War. I talked to one gentleman, I forgot his name, unfortunately. He usually sits outside of the museum and waits to chat with visitors about his descendants. What's the name for it? My German is coming out. His ancestor.
His ancestor, yeah,
ancestor,
yes.
That's the word I was looking for. Because he said his ancestor was a real bandit. And he, you know, held up stagecoaches, and he was a real bad guy. You know, not compared to Billy the Kid. He was a baby. So, you know, take your time when you go there and just talk with the locals.
I tell you what, you can spend all day there easily.
Yes.
And if you want to purchase anything, I'll tell you this, you better get your cash before you go.
Yeah.
The saddle my dad got, we weren't sure if we were going to be able to scrape up enough cash. And my dad said, well, we'll just run to the next town and go to the bank. I said, Dad, you're not going to do that and come back, you know, because it's out there.
Yeah, and the next town is Capitan with the bank. You know, and Capitan has a history by itself because that's the home of Smokey Bear.
Yes, been there. I'll tell you what I find interesting is that in New Mexico, wherever you go to eat, and I'll find out here later the history here, but for example, we went to Old Mesilla one time and ate a little Mexican restaurant there. I don't even remember the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the building, you could tell, was just old.
Yes.
And I asked them about the history of the building, and come to find out, it had been a barber shop for 60, 70 years, and a lot of history to it. So I find it interesting that no matter where you go to eat, usually, unless it's a brand new building, there's some history tied to the place.
Yes, absolutely.
And that just makes it all the more, much more fun.
Yeah.
Much more fun.
Yeah.
Well, Christine, I appreciate you coming on the coming to meet me here at Our Country Kitchen on the corner of 12th Street and New York.
Yes, it was a pleasure for me.
Oh, we're going to have to do this again, either here or somewhere else, but either way, we'll do it again. I'm going to have to come back for some more green chili stew and the first cinnamon bun. It's been a joy. I thank you for coming on, and I hope you have a fantastic day. Drive carefully and eat safe.
Oh, yes. You know I will, and see you on Facebook.
I will see you on Facebook.
That was my friend Christine Stock from the Pecos Dining Guide. Check out her Facebook page. She puts reviews and beautiful pictures up there. And we had a caller just a few minutes ago, Hank, Mr. Frank Guerrero, and he called to let us know that the three milk cake, which goes by the name of
Tres Leche,
it is available here in Alamogordo.
Yeah, it's at the Alamogordo or Amigos Bakery.
Amigos Bakery.
Didn't
he said,
want to get that wrong.
Yeah, he said you can find that there. So now I know that I don't have to go up to Santa Fe or Albuquerque to get that. I'm going to have to try that out. I am so looking forward to that. So I'm busy working late all this week, but maybe I can swing by there after work one night and pick up some of that, take it home, and hide it in somewhere.
You know, anyway, Seth will find it.
Oh, yeah. He's in the other room killing zombies again on the tablet. He's not killing zombies. He probably is. But anyway, hey, we usually do the history file at the beginning of the show, and we got talking. And
whoops.
Yeah, whoops, but here it is. We'll be right back right after this.
It's June 2nd, 2012. On this day in history in 1537, Pope Paul III bans enslavement of Indians in the New World. In 1774, the Quartering Act, requiring American colonists to allow British soldiers into their houses, is reenacted. In 1865, at Galveston, Texas, Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith surrenders the Trans-Mississippi Department to Union forces. And in 1883, the first baseball game under electric lights is played in Fort Wayne, Indiana. In 1886, on this day in history, President Grover Cleveland becomes the first American president to be married while in office. In 1924, the United States granted on this day full citizenship to American Indians. On this day in history, in 1942, the American aircraft carriers Enterprise, Hornet, and Yorktown move into their battle positions for the Battle of Midway. Today, in 1946, Italian citizens vote by referendum for a republic. And in 1948, Jamaican-born track star Herb McKinley sets a new world record for the 400-yard dash. In 1953, Elizabeth II is crowned Queen of England at Westminster Abbey. In 1954 today, Senator Joseph McCarthy charges that there are communists working in the CIA and atomic weapons plants. In 1969 today, the Australian aircraft carrier Melbourne slices the destroyer USS Frankie Evans in half off the shore of South Vietnam. Born on June 2nd in 1491 was King Henry VIII, King of England. Also born this date in 1731, Martha Dandridge, the First Lady of the United States, widow of Daniel Parke Custis. She married George Washington in 1759. Born in 1903, Robert Morse Page, a physicist and inventor of pulse radar. Also born this date in 1904 was Johnny Weissmuller, American gold-winning Olympic swimmer who portrayed Tarzan in a lot of films. Other birthdays today include composer Marvin Hamlisch, who's 68, drummer Charlie Watts is 71, comic Dana Carvey is 57, actress Nikki Cox is 34, and actor Jerry Mathers, you remember him, the Beaver, he's 64 today. Other interesting notes on this day in history: in 1899, during a train robbery on a Wyoming bridge, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid got into a long argument with the conductor and forgot about the explosives they'd planted. The bridge blew up. On this day in history, in 1897, the New York Journal quoted 61-year-old Mark Twain as saying, from London, that the report of my death was an exaggeration. In 1983, the movie Attack of the Killer Tomatoes was released in Germany. The 1978 horror spoof starring David Miller and Rock Peace was so bad, it had attracted a cult following in the U.S., The 1988 sequel, Return of the Killer Tomatoes, starred John Astin and George Clooney. In 1988, singer James Brown's wife, Adrian, claimed diplomatic immunity in traffic court because, after all, she was the wife of the official ambassador of Seoul. In 1993, Minor League Baseball banned the use of all tobacco products by players during games. In 2005, Georgia runaway bride Jennifer Wilbanks pleaded no contest to faking her own abduction and was sentenced to probation and community service and a fine. And in 2007, in Tempe, Arizona, U.S. hot dog eating champ Joey Chestnut surpassed the record of 53 3/4 hot dogs held for 6 years by Takeru Kobayashi of Japan by wolfing down 59.5 dogs in 12 minutes. And that's your history file for June 2nd, 2012.
Well, our friend Dawn Kunkel is in the chat room again, and she says that she is so sorry that she missed the first part of the show, but I told her it's recorded. You can catch it tomorrow. It should be up sometime. Actually, most of the time I get it up on the website tonight, you know, on Saturday nights. Takes me a little while because I go through and edit the file and convert it into a high-quality 192 kbps MP3. Huh? Sounds a little better than 128. Anyway, 128 CD quality, but I like the 192. Anyway, I'm talking over my own head even here a little bit. But Dawn says hello, and she's in the chat room there.
Hi, Dawn.
But it is pre-recorded, or it will be pre-recorded. It's live now. It's recorded now.
It'll recording as we speak.
As we speak, yes. Thanks to the great technology of freeware, we use Audacity. It's one of the greatest programs to record. But anyway, Frank called in, and we said he mentioned that the Amigo Bakery here in Alamogordo has the
Tres Leche.
Yeah. One of these days, I'm going to learn how to speak properly. But he also said that he really enjoyed the show and he liked the gospel music. Well, I was thinking, what song am I going to play now? I haven't played a much gospel here recently because I found some new vintage older country tracks. But I'm going to play a gospel song for him. Years ago, I was trying to write a song that would be in the style of something that the Jordanaires might have done. And I came up with this. It's called Walking and Talking with Jesus. I'll play that now. I hope you enjoy this. Check out jasonkirkman.com.
Walking and talking with Jesus, that's the life, the life for me. Walking and talking with Jesus, that's the life that I really want to lead. I don't want to miss a word that he may say to me. Each one's like a piece of bread on which my soul must feed. Walking and talking with Jesus, that's the life, the life for me. He told me just the other day how he loves me so. He asked me if I'd take his word and to the whole world go. Tell them all about the cross and that hill called Calvary, and let them go walking with him and me. Walking and talking with Jesus, oh, that's the life for me. Walking and talking with Jesus, that's the life that I really want to lead. I don't want to miss a word that he may say to me. Each one's like a piece of bread on which my soul must feed. So I'll go walking and talking with Jesus, that's the life, the life for me. I'll go walking and talking with Jesus, that's the life that I really want to lead.
Well, I got another story for you here, Hank.
Hit me.
Yeah, you'll like this one. There was this mediocre conductor who had a mediocre orchestra. And he had a problem with his basses. It was the last performance of the season. It was Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which required extra effort from the basses at the end. Earlier that evening, he found that the bassists were celebrating one of their birthdays by passing around a bottle. As he was about to cue the basses, he knocked over the music stand. The sheet music scattered, and as he stood in front of the orchestra, his worst fear had been realized. It was the bottom of the ninth. There was no score, and the basses were loaded. I know, it's bad pun night tonight. Dawn Kunkel says hi again.
Hey, Dawn.
She thought Adam was with us. Adam is up.
I'm sorry.
He's up in the mountains tonight. I don't know what he's doing. I sent him a text earlier today. Said, hey, Adam, you going to be with us tonight? I do that prior to the show because he's so active. You know, he's trying to spend as much time with his family before he runs off to boot camp.
Right.
And so I certainly understand that, and I hope he has a good time. But he's up in the mountains, I'm sure, with his family tonight, having a good time. And if he is up there listening, hello, Adam. And it was great to have your grandmother on the show last night. She was a hoot. I cannot wait to have her back sometime. So anyway, we'll be right back. You know, the last song was about life with Jesus. Here's Frank Sinatra singing That's Life. Okay.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life. And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life. That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die. My, my.
You know, Dawn's in the chat room almost every week. I guess we're gonna have to maybe make her our unofficial digital co-host, maybe.
There you go.
Something like that. She's a real big fan of the show, and she loves Elvis Presley. She won't let me get through a show without playing some Elvis. In the chat room, Hank says, I can sing like Elvis, LOL. Dawn says, Jason can. Yeah, well.
And that's no LOL.
Yeah.
You're modest.
I am modest about that. I actually quit singing in churches for years because people kept saying, anybody ever tell you you sound like Elvis? And a friend of mine named Byron, he's a Kansas City musician, says, well, just tell him you get your voice from the same place. And I thought, well, it is God-given. So whether it's good or bad, it's still God-given. So anyway, here's Dawn. Here's your song. We'll be right back right after this.
Her hair is soft and her eyes are oh so blue. She's all the things a girl should be, but she's not you. She knows just how to make me laugh when I feel blue. She's everything a man could want, but she's not you. It almost feels the same. I gotta stop myself from whispering your name. She even kisses me like you used to do, and it's just breaking my heart, 'cause she's not you. It's just breaking my heart, 'cause she's not you. And when we're dancing, it almost feels the same. I've gotta stop myself from whispering your name. She even kisses me like you used to do, and it's just breaking my heart, 'cause she's not you. And it's just breaking my heart, 'cause she's not you.
Hank, you got any plans for the summer? Long pause.
No.
Get through it, right?
Suffer the heat, get through it, and move on.
You know, the great thing about where we live in this area is you don't have to have any plans for the summer because there's always something to do or somewhere to go.
That's true.
You and I, we talked about this. We're going to try to do either some geocaching or some metal detecting sometime together this summer.
Something you can introduce me to because I have not done it yet.
Have you not done either one of them?
Neither of them. I'm looking forward to it.
Geocaching is really, really fun. I've used there's several websites, but the best one I've used was geocaching.com. Don, I see your question. I'll answer that for you in a email later for you. So there's a reason for that. Anyway, there's always something to do right here, and that, you know, whether it's just taking a drive. Me and Seth got in the van last weekend, or was it? I don't remember where. Yeah, it was last week, and we drove up towards Cloudcroft, and we pulled off on the Haynes Canyon Road. Have you been up around that way?
I haven't been down Haynes Canyon Road. I've made it down through Dry Canyon to shoot.
Well, yeah, yeah.
It's a great shooting gallery.
Oh, it is great. We talk about that on the show quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Haynes Canyon is actually, I can't remember if it's before. Yeah, it's way before you get to the Dry Canyon.
Oh, okay.
But we went up there. And because I keep telling myself as I drive up to Cloudcroft, I'm going to turn off down there and explore that road. But I actually didn't pass it this time, so we went down there. Yeah, it was last week because I talked about this with our guest last week. Hmm. But we found a cemetery up there, and it's an old cemetery. Pretty nice little visit. We didn't go all the way down that road. Most of it's blacktop. We went to where the blacktop ends, and I decided I'm going to save the rest of it for later. I want to get down the few of those canyon roads, and it's beautiful up there. There's lots of places to go and lots of things to do around here. Mm-hmm. But we are going to try that geocaching for starters because that's the easiest to do, really.
Sounds like it would be really fun. I tried it a couple times on my own, and I don't
get it. Did you?
I cannot find the things. I get to the point where those things are supposed to be, and
every once in a while I'll come across one that I cannot find. And the reason for that is the people that place those caches that you're supposed to go out and find, they're really good at hiding them.
Oh.
I've had some that, were actually, they made a fake rock, and you had to, open the top of it, and it looks like a rock. So I'm looking around it for a metal army can. And not realizing it's a fake rock built around it, things of that nature. And
there's one on the corner of 10th and White Sands. Mm-hmm. I went to the area and I scoured. And I'm like, I cannot find this. I think this is a fake.
Well, me and Seth went to one. It was out by the hotel over there on I can't remember Scenic Drive or no Panorama Drive. Yeah, the new hotel.
Which
over
one?
There. the new big tall one. I can't even think of the name of it offhand, but it was over back in there, back in behind it in the desert area, and we went back there, and me and Seth probably searched for a good hour and a half and never could find it. But the joy is, I remember the first time I took Brent out geocaching, he was probably only 13 or 14. He got so excited when we found our first one.
Yeah.
And we went to one time. It was near a lake, and it was out in Missouri. And we had to go to walk about a mile and a half, 2 miles through the woods. And when we finally found where it was, we were right on the edge of the lake. And just in the middle of nowhere was a huge statue of an angel. Just beautiful. And great, great photo opportunity. What do they call that, a Kodak moment? Yeah, absolutely.
And your Kodak was home in his bag?
No, I took it with me. I've got pictures of it somewhere. And Don, there was a couple of them there in back home in the little town there in southeast Missouri. That's right. Make sure Don says when you go, make sure you have a full tank of gas. Absolutely. Yeah, almost anywhere around here, if you leave town, you want to make sure you have a full tank.
Yeah,
of
you
gas.
Got at least a 15-mile drive to the next closest town here.
Yeah. Yep. So hey, we're gonna be right back after this. There's one I haven't played before. Here's Charlie Rich with "Wash My Hands in Muddy Water."
Man. about the man of the Tennessee. They called me way up in Nashville. They locked me up and they threw away the key. Well, I washed my hands in muddy water. I washed my hands. When's my time? He said, son, no, we won't forget. And if you try just to keep your hands clean, we may just make a good man of you yet. I couldn't wait to get my time in.
Hey, we're going to get ready to close down the show here in a few minutes, but before we do, I want to leave on a gospel song.
All right.
Here's one I recorded that the Florida Boys did this probably 40, 50 years ago. I'm not sure. But we'll play that. It's called Happy Tracks.
Leave a lot of happy tracks as you go down life's road. Leave a lot of happy tracks everywhere you go. Leave a lot of happy tracks and keep this in mind. Others will have to follow in the path you leave behind. I know that you've heard people say many, many times, you don't pass through this world, but once you get yours, I get mine. But I've got a philosophy I believe I'd rather go by, and if you'll just listen, you may want to give it a try. Leave a lot of happy tracks as you go down life's road. Leave a lot of happy tracks everywhere you go. Leave a lot of happy tracks and keep this in mind. Others will have to follow in the path you leave behind. As you walk the tangled streets of life, notice your fellow man. And when he gets in trouble, lend him a helping hand. Sow good seeds in your field of life, and as you go along, others will reap your happiness a long time after you're gone. Don't ever use a good friend for a personal gain. To gain wealth and lose one friend would only be in vain. Let your happy tracks be many. Leave them everywhere you go. Others will have to harvest each and every seed you sow. Leave a lot of happy tracks as you go down life's road. Leave a lot of happy tracks everywhere you go. Leave a lot of happy tracks and keep this in mind. Others will have to follow in the path you leave behind. Leave a lot of happy tracks. Leave a lot of happy tracks.
Well, that music means it's time for Vanna White to come out and flip letters. No, it doesn't. Vanna White is not in the studio with us. Neither is Pat Sajak It's just me and Hank Stuckey, and we're getting ready to go home, and you're going to eat some leftover grilled food, right?
Leftover burgers and beans.
Yeah, I'm having spaghetti and meatballs.
I'll be sleeping on the couch today.
I'll be
hurting.
I might be hurting. Teresa's meatballs are really, really good. She makes them out of a meatloaf recipe.
That's what I've heard. They're really good.
Yeah, they really, really are. Teresa's quite a cook. She's got several dishes that she makes something called Chicken Supreme, too, that's like a gravy sauce. Seth doesn't... He's over there grimacing. It's a gravy sauce with bacon, and it's...
Oh, you had me at bacon.
Yeah, well, you know, bacon is like part of the major food group for us... For us gentlemen, sometimes.
Right.
I saw in a store a couple of weeks ago bacon flavored mints.
It's like a little too far.
Yeah. I was at, but it's that's almost like a contradiction in terms.
Yeah. Bacon, you need a mint after you have bacon.
Right. Or bacon after you've had a mint, and then the mint again.
Right.
Anyway, hey, this is the Jason Kirkman Show. We've been having a blast. Dawn says bye, Hank and Jason. And yes, that is the song from CHIPS, which stands for California Highway Patrol. Yes. So, anyway, it's been a great show. Check out jasonkirkman.com. You can always listen to Bob Flott in the mornings with the local news, weather, and information, all the happenings and public service announcements. And we did give away, since Mr. Guerrero called in, he's got the tickets to the Flickinger Tailgate event, and so glad, Mr. Guerrero, that you called in and gave us your input, and I can't wait to try some of that cake. So check out Bob Flott in the morning. He will be here again, like I said, with all the information you could possibly want or need, and have a great night. See you in church tomorrow. We will return to our regular scheduled programming at this time.